You started to say that you didn't want to stay out in the shop.
No, I didn't want to. I wanted to get into the offices. At that time, most any woman that could have gotten into the office without losing, without taking a downgrade as far as pay goes, would have gladly gone in. They weren't so, we weren't used to this idea of non-traditional jobs. The non-traditional jobs really didn't pay that much more, I don't think. Mm. Maybe they did, but, we haven't gotten used to this idea.
Now, when you made that transfer, that would have been when, late 44?
I believe so, because, let's see, the war was over in 45, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been, I wonder if that was the summer of 44. Mm. I know I made the transfer in August. And yes, it would have been the summer of 44. Because, and then I don't remember exactly when we did move over to that other hangar. It seemed like it was along in March or sometime. But I know we were over in the big hangar when the war was over. Mm.
Now, when you made the transfer, there basically was a turnaround in the war by that time, and the feeling that we really were going to win and the war was going to be over sooner or later. Were you feeling that there might be a change in your situation as a result of that at that point?
Well, like I had said, everybody kept saying there wouldn't be any job there after the war, but I said, I want to get on that 8 o'clock shift. And I remember telling people that, and I am going to try to stay at Lockheed. I want to get in the office on the 8 o'clock shift. I didn't want to work swing all the rest of my mm-hmm. life. And I didn't want to have to wear blue jeans or slacks the rest of my life. Besides, I thought that work in the shop was really no kind of work to grow old in.
Mm.
And so I thought I wanted to get into the clerical part.
And then you moved over to the other space in March or so, 44.
Well, it was still the same department. They mm-hmm. just moved the whole department over.
I see.
Yes.
And at this point, what was your life like? Had it changed at all during that period? Once you moved into this other job?
Let's see. It seemed like after we got over there, or maybe, I know she wasn't on there at first, there was a girl in parts listing, and her husband was a supervisor at A1, and she was very nice. Now, we got along fine and had 8 lunch together, and sometimes if we could manage, if someone had a, there were just the two of us, but who in the world, there must have been somebody else drive a car. Maybe it was one of these dispatchers. I know once in a while we went over to the Sky Room for lunch at night, but I know we didn't overstay our lunch period very much. I mean, not more than maybe leave 5 minutes early and get back 5 minutes late or something. But I really enjoyed working with her.
Does that mean you no longer were punching a time clock?
No, I was still punching mm-hmm. a time clock till I was on salary.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't punch in and out for lunch.
Mm.
It was just that you better not be late getting back too much. And we did a good job. So, I mean, I think we always told the supervisor that we were going there mm-hmm. for lunch. And he didn't care if we were a few minutes mm-hmm. late getting back. That didn't happen mm-hmm. very often. It was an occasion.
But it sounds like it was a much more relaxed.
Oh, it was. Yes, it was. It was. See, this was tool planning, and it was creative work, mm-hmm. so to speak. So it was.
Now, what happened to your friend Jeanette? Did she stay in the same job?
No, she decided that she wanted to go. She thought she ought to get back to teaching.
Mm.
So she got a job teaching in the San Marino Grammar School, and then she would go out there and work in the summertime.
Oh.
During the summer, she'd go work at Lockheed. And that continued till after the war was mm-hmm. over.
Now, as you mentioned parts listing, did you move into another job then?
Not yet. I was still a clerk But this girl was in parts listing. She was on swing, see, and we were, well, it was like she was in there and I was in here.
Oh,
I mean, it was so physically close, yeah, that I don't mean that we didn't each do our own work and everything, but, you know, we were so close. We ate lunch mm-hmm. together and did all like that. She was very pleasant. Now, let's see, what was it?
I was wondering the ways in which your life had changed during that period.
Oh, let's see.
What was your social life like then? Who were your friends?
I think by then I was going to school in the mornings, and then going to I was taking out typing shorthand. Yes, I was mm-hmm. taking typing and shorthand. Out at Pasadena City College, and I could take that in the morning, and I discovered that you could get lunch out there, and you didn't have to worry about meat points, and besides, it was probably cheaper than fixing it at home, but mostly it was because of the time element, because if I'd eat lunch there, and then I think I took the streetcar, and I could transfer and go home, and get myself together and get ready to go to work. Mm-hmm. And I was going to school during the days and working nights, because I was only on days for a couple of weeks mm-hmm. when I went in there.
Do you recall, so when the war ended, you were still a clerk?
I was on vacation. You know, I had put off my vacation and put off my vacation. So here was the end of August. And when the war was over, another girlfriend and I were in San Francisco. Oh, boy, that was the first time I was ever afraid. You never saw such a mass of sailors in all your life. And, I mean, we finally went back to, I think we got on the streetcar, because we'd gone up there on the train. She had a car. Well, I guess we both had cars, but we'd gone up there, and we went back to the apartment of the friend she was visiting. That was the first time I saw them. It seemed to me like they threw one sailor right through a glass door. Oh, you know, they were so glad the war was over, and of course a lot of them were under the influence, and boy, that was no place to be. So I missed out on a holiday because I found out everybody at Lockheed got a holiday. We didn't get paid for our holiday if we were on vacation. Then later, because of that, the union in the next contract got it that if you were on vacation during a holiday, you got paid for the extra, see, for the holiday. But I missed that holiday.
Now, when you went into the clerical work, did you remain in the union?
Yes, mm-hmm. because that was still covered by the union.
Mm-hmm. Now, after VE Day and before your vacation and VJ Day, when the layoffs were beginning to occur, what were your thoughts about your own future?
Oh, well, now, I didn't tell you that by the time the war came along, I was on days again. I kept wanting to get on days. I was tired of swing by then. And so I don't remember exactly when it was just the summer not long before VE Day mm-hmm. that I got on days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't know, but when the layoffs came, that you just hoped you didn't get laid off, and actually they never got around to me. They were mostly laying off people in production. Of course, they started all this bumping, but I had pretty good seniority because a lot of those people had hired in later than I mm-hmm. had, and so I just thought, well, I'll hang on as long as I can.
And what did you think your chances were that you would get laid off?
Well, I didn't know, but it was like anything else. What can you do? And I don't know, I'm always one to kind of stick the thing out and see. Maybe it won't be as bad as they think. And then let's see, it wasn't long after that, although it was a while, that this contract, on this Model 89, they made the two ships plus what they called a ship's worth of spares. And because the war was over, we didn't get a production contract. So I got transferred into another department for a while, and into Constellation Tool Planning. I was a clerk there. I see now. I was parts lister by then. When I went on days, I went on days, and I was a parts lister. And they were working up, they were doing some production, they were reconciling the assembly parts list with the engineering parts list or something like that. Because I know I worked on what they call PAPLs, those were prototype assembly parts lists. And so when it was time, when I had transferred, I went into this other department as parts lister, and I discovered that over there, some of the girls that were parts listers hadn't been doing the parts listing like we had been doing. See, we actually listed the parts off the prints. We worked from blueprints, and some of them didn't have to. And I remember now there was a lead woman over there, and of course I came in, and I don't remember now, but I probably bumped somebody. One day they had me, they had me typing all day. Even though I was a parts lister, I was typing these parts lists. I think that's what I typed. Well, the next day, the woman, that's the first time I ever typed all day, and I went home that night with a backache, and I had typed over in the other department when I was a clerk, but I'd used an electrical typewriter, and I'd never used this manual typewriter and typed for 8 hours. Boy, And what else? They had me do something else. Anyway, she asked me how I liked doing it. Well, that was a mistake. She shouldn't have asked me how I liked. I hadn't complained about doing it, but when she asked me, I told her, well, I didn't care about doing it, but, if I had to, she went and told supervisor that I had complained. So he called me over to tell me, that this was and all that. I told him I hadn't complained. I said she asked me how I liked it, and I told her. And so then, there was going to be some, they were going to change the classifications, and we would have all been made, I think it was something lower, and they were coming up with, something like that. Those girls were all going to be reclassified, I believe. And I had a choice of either going along with it. We all had that choice of either going along with the reclassification or trying to transfer. And I told him I'd prefer to transfer. Well, I was, because I didn't like that work in there. The people were all right. But, of course, after I said that, that girl didn't like me very well. And I didn't like it very well because she told the supervisor what I said. Because she just asked me how I liked it. I didn't complain. Because, I never did complain much about what I had to do. If that was part of it, I did it. But, if you don't like to do a thing and then somebody asks you, I wasn't going to be hypocritical and tell her, oh, I like that. I told her that it wasn't like what I'd done in the other department, I don't know what in the world she asked me for. She was good, though. She was very efficient, and I don't know if she was really a lead woman or just the senior worker, and we kind of had her telling all the rest of us women what to do. Anyway, I put in a transfer referral, and I was sent to personnel, and the man I interviewed there was the man that later got to be department manager of industrial relations and later appointed ambassador to Japan by Nixon. Hodson was his name. Hodson, James Hodson. and he later was an ambassador to Japan. But at that time, he was just a personnel clerk. Well, not a clerk. He was a personnel man, you know, mm-hmm. an interviewer. I don't know what his classification was, but he didn't do the typing. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me why I wanted to transfer, and I told him that it seemed like they were going to give them a classification that had clerk in it again. Mm-hmm. They were going to be tool planner clerks. I told him I'd been a parts lister, and I would like to stay that. He asked me several questions. Was I unhappy in the other place where I was? And I told him not unhappy, but what the situation was and that the work I had done over in that other place. I says, that's more interesting, don't you think? He said, I don't know anything about the job. No, he did say that. I thought of that very often when I read what he said. He said, I don't know anything about the work. Well, he asked me about where I'd been in my other department. Would I care to go back there? Oh, I told him I'd just love to go back there and that I like the people over there and all that. And then he said, well, good. There's a vacancy there because the girl that was there, see, she had more seniority than I, was going on a PA, she had to have some kind of an operation or something. She would be gone for 6 weeks to a month. And she said, and Warren, that was the department manager, said he would be just delighted to have me come back because he wouldn't have to teach me the work. I hadn't been gone that long. And anyway, Warren had always liked my work. And so he said, so there's no problem. The only thing was I had had my vacation scheduled, so I had to give up my vacation. I didn't take my vacation then. But that was great. I mean, I was so glad to go back to 89 planning, to really my old job. And I was back there for, whenever it was. I stayed 1 week after she came back for us to coordinate, or maybe I left before she came back, because she knew the work, mm-hmm. too. And then...
You weren't concerned that this was going to be just temporary?
No, because I didn't really care for what I would have to do in that other department. Mm. I was just going to be a clerk. It was kind of like filing or typing. I didn't want to.
And you didn't think there was any danger of getting laid off at that point either?
Well, even if there was, I'd held this other classification. Mm. I could always change it. There was something about any girl in tool planning that had done more than typing could become a tool planning clerk. Because I thought, there's time enough for that, mm-hmm. but later on I'll go back to 89 planning where I like to be. And there weren't very many on the crew then, but they all seemed glad to have me back, and I was glad to be back. And Warren was particularly glad to have me come back because, they just worked one along smoothly.
But you stayed on days.
Yes, yes, I was on days.
Now, did that mean that you lost your shift differential?
When I went on days originally, mm-hmm. yes, it did, but that didn't bother me, mm-hmm. because by then I was it wasn't that much, and I wanted to get on days because I could see that there was more opportunity for advancement. There were jobs on days that they didn't have to swing. And so soon after that, I got made a parts lister, which paid, I think, 10 or 15 cents more an hour, so that made up for it. Pretty fast, and it wasn't long before I got made a parts lister.
Now, what was that pay at that classification?
It seemed to me that department clerk paid $1.05, and I think parts lister paid $1.15 an hour. I'm quite sure that's what it was.
So by the end of the war, you were up to $1.05, though.
Oh no, I was up to $1.15 by then. See, I was a parts lister by then. By the end of the war, yes. Because I hadn't been on days very long till I got made a parts lister.
And so you basically, in the period from June 42 when you began till June 45 or so, you've gone from 60 cents to $1.15.
$1.15, yes.
Now, did you have overtime, though, when you went on days? Into the clerical work?
No.
So it was basically a 40-hour week?
Yes. Well, now wait, let's see. During the war, we worked Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
but
so it was
never Sunday. And as soon as the war was over, it seemed like they cut back that Saturday pay, because that's when what in the world was his name that was the head of the union of the United Auto Workers, that's when he came up with this cost of living business,
mm-hmm.
that they must have a raise so that they would get as much in 40 hours as they had been used
mm-hmm.
to getting in their 48 hours. And that's when they started this cost of living. And edit this out, but I think that was a great mistake. I think that cost of living is what has contributed more to inflation than anything else. That's not everybody's opinion. That's my opinion.
Well, Peter, tell me, how did your life change at the end of the war? You'd gone on to day shift, the war had ended. What kind of changes did you experience in your life?
Well, let's see. I believe it was soon after that I started to night school. Not right away,
mm-hmm.
but then I could go to night school. I had a definite hours, and of course there was more social life
mm-hmm.
was certainly a great deal more.
In what way did that change?
Well, I soon not right away, but you know, the fellow started coming back, and I moved to Glendale, and I started going to the church that I still go to, and I met a fellow there that I dated for a long time, over a year or so. Well, there was just more, but I was going to night school, and then my social life
mm-hmm.
increased, I would say.
Now, when you moved to Glendale and started becoming, it sounded like you socialized basically with the group through the church.
Yes.
Were you still going to Pasadena City College, or did you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I had a car, so I drove over there. No, I never took anything at Glendale College except, I think at photography or something like that. But I graduated from Pasadena City College.
And what year was that?
48.
Mm.
And then I started at, right away, L.A. City College had one or two courses. I took some courses there, and then that is the one reason I moved to Glendale, because I was still close enough to my friends in Pasadena. I was closer to Lockheed, and it was close to L.A. City
mm.
College, and that's where L.A. State was located,
mm.
on that campus. And so I started going to night school there, and my night school did hamper my social life somewhat, but I thought it was worth it, because I was going to night school probably three nights
mm-hmm.
a week.
What direction did you see yourself going in terms of your future at that point?
Well, it began to look like, of course, by then, soon after after this Margaret came back, I went to another department, and I didn't realize till after I got there that I had bumped this girl. But they were laying people off right and left. It seemed to me like I got over to Spares, and they were there was a lot going on there, and it seemed like almost every Friday they had a luncheon for somebody that was
leaving. Now, was that what, in about 47, 48?
This would have been
about
47, I think. Yes, I believe so, because I got over there, and by then they were interviewing parts listers when they came in, because they'd had women come in there that had been parts listers but had not been working with the prints. They'd been doing more of the clerical part, but they'd given them the classification because they were good workers. We call it Spares then. It was called Spares then. Later was Product Support. That is the same division, but it became, but anyway, in Spares, they needed parts listers to help. They were starting to put out these technical manuals on the P-2. See, the truculent turtle had made that famous trip from where, Japan to someplace. And
I've never heard that name
before. It had set a record. Yeah, it was a P-2. It was a prototype P-2. But then they started in production on this. And the kind of technical manuals I worked on at that point was where you listed all the parts off the prints and then made an illustration, but you had to check the illustration. Well, they had tech writers doing a lot of that. They called them technical writers, and they made pretty good. I think they made $1.65 an hour. But they had us, right away they put me on that. Now, I didn't get upgraded right away, but I remember one day I was talking to this tech writer, and I said, well, maybe this is too hard. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. He said, oh, now you came very well recommended to Helen Needles. Well, that was the first I knew there was this woman, woman lead woman over the parts listers. She was a technical writer, but she was lead woman over us. She was very good, too. She was later made a department manager over records. But anyway, she was writing with one of the supervisors from tool planning. Yes, I guess he was still in tool planning. Anyway, they both lived down in Sierra Madre, and she rode with him. So when she found out I was coming from tool planning, she had sort of asked him.